number 13. I want to say it's our joy and our honor to get to be here today. I appreciate this church and your pastor. You support us monthly and every December now for the last several years, which is a slow time for evangelists. Your good preachers had us come in and help my family, and that means the world to me, especially as at a rapid rate as we're having babies. I need all the help I can get. Somebody say amen. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And He's been better to me than I deserve. And I bless His name for loving me when I was unlovable. And blessing me like He does. I go to thinking about where I'd be if it wasn't for Jesus right now. My daddy was a drunk. My mama was a pothead. All my family was lost and didn't have no God, no Jesus, no Bible. One day my daddy fell under Holy Ghost conviction, got saved. My mama got saved. Months later I was born and I got to be raised in the house of God. And I'm thankful where I am today because of Jesus. And I'm honored. I mean this with all my heart. I'm honored to get to be at this church. There's a lot of places we go where we feel like we work to be a blessing. But when we come here, we feel like we just get to be a part of a blessing. And I appreciate the kindness of this place and the giving spirit of this place and the love and care and the hospitality this place shows. Judges chapter number 13 and verse number 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us now as we open up your word, and God, as we dive into what you have for us today. I pray, God, that the Spirit of the living God would accompany us and help us. I pray, God, for the unction that the old-timers prayed for. And I pray, God, you'd move upon us today. God, give us what we stand in need of. God, you only know, God, every need in this room. And I pray, oh God, that the preaching of the Word of God would do that which is meant to do. God, for everything that's said and done. You know I'll lift my hands toward heaven and give you every ounce of the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And all God's people said, you may be seated. As we enter into Judges chapter number 13, we enter into a subject that if you've been in church much time at all, been to Sunday school, you've heard about this man by the name of Samson. Much like the announcement of the birth of Jesus, we find the announcement of the birth of Samson, of how his mother would conceive a baby and his name would be Samson and all the things that would go on. No razor should come upon his head. And we know as we study the life of Samson that he becomes a very mighty man, a very strong man, and a man that has a supernatural strength upon his life. We know the many acts that comes across through Samson's life, and we know that there was a strength that he had. One thing that got to me about Samson was how the Bible would say, even from his childhood, how the Spirit of the Lord would begin to move upon him. And when the Spirit of the Lord would move upon Samson, there was a strength that would come upon him that he did not have at other times. When we begin to dissect this strength that Samson had, we have to go back to the announcement of his birth and find out that there was a Nazarite vow that Samson entered into in his childhood. And it was the separation and the dedication that this Nazarite vow had on Samson's life that produced the anointing and the supernatural strength that would come upon the life of Samson. This Nazarite vow that Samson would enter into would be from his birth all the way through. And we find that to break down this Nazarite vow, we find, number one, it meant that he was to abstain from the vine. There was nothing on the vine that Samson was to touch. There was something, and let me say this, as a Christian, there are things that if you're going to carry an anointing on your life, there's some things that you just cannot have a part of. There's Christians every day that I believe might be saved, but as by fire, they get in, they get saved, and they never want to go any further. But if you want to have the anointing of God on your life and the touch of God on your family, you hear me well. I'm glad we're not saved by works, but when it comes to carrying the anointing of God on your and my life, there are some things that we ain't got no business going around. Somebody say amen right there. And that the Nazarite vow required him to abstain from the vine. Secondly, it required him to abstain from touching something that was dead. It would mean he would be ceremonially unclean, and Samson was not to touch anything that was dead. Thirdly, the main thing that we all know of, Samson was to abstain from the cutting of his hair. So from the time that Samson was born, well into his older age, we find Samson's hair begins to come very long, and because of the power of him keeping this Nazarite vow, there was a supernatural strength as the Spirit of the Lord would move upon Samson, and Samson would be able to do things that he would not be able to do at other times. In Judges chapter number 16 and 6, or Judges 13 and 25 rather, when he was a child for the first time, we have recorded that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson. Boy, do you remember the first time that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon your piece of flesh? When the Spirit, I'm glad you don't have to be old, you don't have to be wealthy, you don't have to be this, but even as a little child, the Spirit of the Lord can move upon a young person and you can do mighty works for the Lord. In Judges 14 and 6, a lion comes up out of the woods and the Spirit of the Lord moves upon Samson, and with his own bare hands, he rents that lion into pieces. In Judges chapter number 14 and 19, 30 men were killed at the hands of Samson when the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him. In Judges 15 and 14, he slew 1,000 men with his bare hands, with the jawbone, and killed those men because the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him and gave him supernatural strength. At this point, everybody in the place is looking for a way to defeat Samson. Samson was born on purpose. God had a destiny for his life, and that was that he would begin to deliver God's people, and he would begin to break the bondage and the yoke of power that they had over God's people. And Samson was rising. Samson was accomplishing the task that he was born to do. But hear me well, if people around you can sense that there's an anointing on your life to break the bondage of the enemy, then you better believe that all of hell can see that too. So Samson not only has an anointing, but now Samson has a bullseye on his back, and every enemy and every power and every nation has one dream and one goal and one desire, and that is to defeat and to kill the life of Samson. How are they going to get him? How are they going to kill him? This man can kill 1,000 men by himself. How will they find a chink in his armor to kill Samson? How will they infiltrate and destroy what Samson has going on? Judges chapter number 16. I want to submit to you today that I believe that the devil used voices in the life of Samson. What 1,000 men could not do, voices could do. What 30 men could not do, voices. What a lion could not do, voices did. Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 16. The Bible speaks about Delilah, a young lady he fell in love with. And she is sent in to Samson to find out his strength. To find out that which gives him this supernatural strength to be undefeated and powerful. The Bible said, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with what? With her words. And urged him, watch this now, so that his soul was vexed unto death. You telling me that 1,000 men can't vex you unto death? You telling me that a lion can't vex you to death? You telling me raised under this strict standard of the Nazarite vow cannot vex you unto death? But one voice of one woman can bring your soul to the place where you're vexed unto death? We find that this powerful, mighty man is brought to his knees by the words and the voice of this woman. Finally, after she presses him daily, verse number 17 said he told her all his heart. Judges 16 and 19, after she finds out that his strength lay in the length of his hair, she finally coaxes him to fall asleep, and while he's asleep, she brings in those men. They cut his hair. Samson undoubtedly awakes out of his sleep thinking that he's going to tear these men into pieces. But watch now, the strength that he's so used to having when he gets in trouble, now when he needs it the most, he does not have that strength anymore. He's carried away. They pluck his eyes out. They let him run over town. And the man that used to be the most mighty man in the area is now the laughing stock of the town. He is now the laughing stock of the area. He is one that used to be. He's the one that used to do something. But now he is powerless. Now he's influenced none at all. And everything that he's ever had is gone. And it's all due to voices. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2015, may I tell you that the same voices that was living in Samson's day are still very much alive in the day in which we live. I believe that every single one of us, no matter how old you are or how young you are, we live with voices every single day. And you hear me well, just the same way that Samson had destiny in his life, and just the same reason that Samson was born with the purpose and God's hand on his life, I believe every single person in this room, God has a purpose. If He didn't want you or need you, you wouldn't be here right now. But God has something for you to do, and you must understand that if I can see that, if your preacher can see that, if your mama can see that, you better understand that there's a very real devil in hell that sees that. He sees your family. He sees your home. He sees your marriage. And the devil ain't playing games, but the devil wants one thing, and that's for your marriage to end in divorce, for this church to end up in a split, for your kids to go crazy, for your family to lose its power, for you to lose your tears, for you to lose your anointing, and you to lose your power. And we better get our heads out of the sand and understand that the devil ain't playing games, but the devil's got a real goal, and that's to ruin everything about you, for him to destroy your kids and to ruin your family. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in dark places. We have a very real adversary, for the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm telling you, we are in a battle zone. We are in a war zone. And the devil wants to take your family out of this thing. And he uses voices to do so. Number one, I believe Samson had to deal with voices of discouragement. Voices of discouragement are not necessarily always voices on the outside, but you know what I have learned about the weaponry of the devil is the devil uses the power. He understands if he can get in your head, he can defeat you before you ever get started. Samson's raised different. Samson is being raised in an area where nobody has the same standards that he has. Nobody has to live the same way he does. The same way a bunch of us independent Baptist people, we raised up under a preacher that says a Christian ought to live different, act different, dress different, talk different, and sometimes if you're not careful, the devil will come by and say it's all silly. You ain't got to live that way. You ain't got to act that way. You ain't got to live like that. Just live like everybody else. And I believe that Samson had voices of discouragement that lived in his head every day of his life. Ain't none of us want to agree with it, but all of us got a little crazy up here sometimes. All of us got voices that crawl up and through our minds. And it's voices of the devil that get in our head that discourage us. I wonder how many marriages have ended in divorce over things that was implanted in a mind that never even happened. David has been anointed by God to be the next king of Israel. But Saul begins to chase after him to such a place that David makes this statement, "Surely Saul shall slay me." David should have known that God don't anoint something and waste his time if God don't have a purpose for the future. But yet the devil got in his mind to such a place that he lost his joy and he lost his purpose. And I'm here to tell you that the devil gets in your mind and you can't believe everything that you think all the time. If the devil can get in your head, he can defeat you before you even get started. A preacher in this room, I don't believe anybody fights demonic warfare any more than a preacher does. And the devil will get in your mind and tell you you ain't doing no good, you're wasting your time, ain't nothing going on, you just need to quit and give up. It's a war of the mind. The devil will get in the mind of a mother and say there's no sense in you wasting all your time trying to raise your kids right in the house of God. Ain't no sense in you trying to be a Bible woman and try to do what God says to do. You ought to just go off and leave and have yourself a time. The devil will get in the mind of a father and saying you're not near as good as you should be. You deserve better. You need to go off and do something else. And if the devil can get in your mind, he don't have to worry about the warfare on the outside because you know I'm telling the truth. That's why you're so quiet this morning. The devil will get in your mind and stop you before you ever get started. I've had my fair share of it. The church don't talk about it. But I know what real depression is. The devil will come over your mind shut you down and feel like you can't even get out of the bed. And I understand there's medical elements to that, but you better believe, honey, there is demonic warfare that goes behind a lot of that stuff that gets in your mind and drives you crazy. And it is a daily war and a daily battle where you got to press on and press on and press on because you've got to know these voices of discouragement are going to kill you before you get started. Voices of discouragement from the inside, but they also come from the outside. How many of y'all know what it's like to want to serve God and want to go forward only for some loud-mouthed person to go yapping their jaws and the devil use it as a voice of discouragement? Some of them good Baptist people, but they... Well, I don't know why we got bust this wall out and everything. I don't know nothing, but I just know Baptist people. And we got this whole side over here. I don't know why we got bust that wall. And I don't know why we got to get this colored carpet here and just And if you're not careful, those voices of discouragement will affect what God's going to do in your life. God will use, the devil will use these voices, voices of discouragement. Not only do I see voices of discouragement in Samson's life, but I see that there's also voices of destruction. Voices of destruction. Samson goes and he meets all these different things and Before he knows it, he starts messing around with destructive voices. He touches things that come from the vine. He reaches into the carcass of that lion and he gets the honey. He's 2 for 3 now. He's still got the hair. Time goes by and he meets this girl named Delilah. She presses him daily with her words. And he loses his hair. That presses him daily part stuck out at me when we think about this voices that the devil puts in our life. Did you know that you and I are pressed daily by voices? And I'm not just talking about voices of discouragement, but I'm talking about there are things in this world that are meant to press you and I on a daily basis. I'm not an Amish. I'm not the guy that gets up here and tells you to turn off your TV and throw it. Matter of fact, you're going to get rid of your TV. Send it to my house. I like TV. But we've got to understand that everything that comes on them things ain't a voice of God. We live in a day where the movies of today, I wish I had time to dive into some of this, but I've been doing research on all this stuff, and the number one movies that have topped the charts over the last several years, if you look at the subject, and you look at the plan, and you look at the plot, and you look at the message of those movies, every single one of them nearly have a perverted agenda with something that convinces you and I that if you don't like this woman, you can divorce her, go get you another woman. If you don't like him, you can ditch that man, go get you another one, and everything will be fine. Y'all can share kids. Everybody will smile. Everybody will be happy. Everything will be wonderful. And y'all know I'm telling the truth, but what they don't show in them movies is the utter devastation of little babies and little children that got to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas away from mama. They don't share the tears and the heartbreak and the warping of the minds that goes along with that mess. And I'm telling you, there are voices that come out of that stuff. Used to be, we just said, if you don't go to the theater, you'll be safe. But now it's piped into your house. It is, and I'm not just talking about adult movies. Me and Becky have to censor what cartoons our kids can watch. There are voices that come through all that mess. Television, just lately, I don't know if y'all saw it, Campbell's Soup comes out with this commercial, and it's a little boy sitting on the middle of a table with two men on both sides. One looks at the boy and says, "I'm your father." The other one looks at him and says, "I'm your father." If you don't believe that that is a voice, something's wrong. And yeah. You're strong enough, you got enough sense about you that you know that's wrong. But what about them kids that look at that with their eyes, as Campbell Soup says, soup for real life, and what they're trying to convince this generation is that just accept it, just go along with it, just live with it, everything's alright. They want you and I to believe that a man can marry a man and everything's alright. I'm going to preach it this morning. They want you and I to believe that a woman can marry a woman and that's alright. Hear me well. It ain't all right. It's still straight out of hell. It's a voice from the devil trying to convince this generation that it's all right. I still believe. You call me old fashioned. Call me whatever you want. If God says it's right, it's right. And if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It is a voice. It's a voice that's penetrating your home. If I was to come in your home and say the same things that TV's saying, you'd kick me out of your house. There's a voice. It's coming through the movies. There's a voice. It's coming through the music. If we've ever needed parents that'll quit worrying about being popular amongst other parents and quit worrying about what other people say and quit worrying about trying to be your best friend with your kids and understand that God's put you there as the watchman over your home, and you've got to watch what goes in their ears. You've got to watch what comes through their eyes and understand that it's up to you to watch over them babies. There's voices. There's voices. There's voices. The music of today. Hear me, There are voices that come through that music. You studying, and I dare you just to go look at what some of the top songs that have been across the radio in secular music. I know I'm stepping on, I know I'm going on dangerous ground here. But you go look at it. Yeah, it's got a fun little beat. Yeah, it makes you smile. But you go look at what them lyrics are saying. There's a new song come out. It talks about I can't feel my face when I'm with you, all this stuff. And it sounds like it's a fun song. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the high that comes over somebody when they're high on cocaine. And all our church people singing and happy and dancing, having a good time. And they're worshiping the fact of when you get high on cocaine, your face goes numb and you can't live without it. The devil, for much too long, has convinced us that it's all just a happy world. Just sing the tongue, sing it all, everything's fine. But there's voices that come out of that mess. Voices come out of that stuff. Moment of transparency. Some of y'all might think I'm less than. There ain't nothing I enjoy any more at times than a good country song. When you kill a deer, you don't want to hear Amazing Grace. You want to hear Hank Jr. on the radio. Somebody say amen right there. Country boy can't survive, honey. I'm country to the bone. But let's be honest, y'all. You listen to half them songs come on there. And listen at the message that's coming out of some of that stuff. And you cannot argue with me that the fact is that there are messages and there's voices that come through that that just says, live any old way you want. Go get you a beer. Drink it up. Party it up. Dump this man. Cheat on your wife. Cheat on your husband. Go get you another. I mean, you've got to admit all the way along there are voices that come through this stuff and we are daily bombarded and it's almost like we've been rocked to sleep and we're just living our life however we want to. But we've got to understand what is the cause for the rapid amount of divorces in our churches. What is the amount that creates the statistic that when a teenager grows up in church, when they're 18 years old, they leave the house of God and they never come back? What is the reason for the rapid decline in the amount of what's going on in our churches today? And I'm here to declare unto you, we've allowed voices to come into our homes, into our churches, and the devil, he don't have to fight us out there. We've allowed him in to destroy us from the inside. Voices all around us. Voices of destruction. Samson has now been destroyed. Samson has now lost his hair. Samson has now lost his power. Samson is now the laughingstock of the town. He has no eyes. One day, I thank God for this verse. It said, howbeit the hairs of his head began to grow again. How many of y'all glad failure ain't final with God? How many of y'all ever messed up before and glad that it ain't over until God says, oh, come on, somebody. How many of y'all ever made a mistake before and you lost the hair and you did what you wasn't supposed to do, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And the God of heaven is not just the God of, hey, is not just the God of first and second chances, but the God of third and fourth and fifth. He's a God that failure ain't final when it comes to Him. We find that he's through the town and he asks a young boy to prop him up beside two pillars. Samson's between those two pillars. And you want to know one of the last voices I believe Samson heard was voices not of distraction and destruction, but I believe he heard the voice of deliverance. Oh, you can't tell me that between those two posts, as Samson stood there, you can't tell me them same voices that he heard as a little boy that the Spirit of God began to, good God Almighty, the same voices that he used to hear as a child begin to speak to him again. As the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson again, and the Bible said that the strength came back to him and he pushed those pillars out, the building collapsed, and Samson killed more in his death than he did in his life. All because of voices of deliverance. Let's say it like this. Samson was delivered because he heard voices that he used to hear. Samson got to the place where he got to hear voices again that he used to hear. You know what I do in moments of discouragement, moments of temptation, is I make myself remember voices that I used to hear. Sometimes I'll go to my secret place and I'll close my eyes and be real still, and I'll try to remember voices like my mama praying over me when I was a little boy. I remember very clearly my mama saying, God, please use my baby. God, please don't let the devil have my baby. God, use my boy. I remember voices of my father just rearing back like a shotgun, machine gun preacher, rearing back and preaching that book as straight as an arrow. Those voices come through my mind, and those voices help me. I go back to memories when I was a kid of old time Holy Ghost preachers that invested in my life and preached over my life and prayed over my life. And those voices that I used to hear are voices of deliverance. You want to know a voice that really helps me? That little boy right there named Tucker. He thinks I hung the moon because I told him I did. He's my redneck fly fishing, deer hunting. He loves it. He loves being with me. Other day we was following Becky up to TJ Maxx because that's what you women do. And me and Becky's doing what boys do. We was just walking around like we didn't know what we was doing. And I look, and little Tucker's climbed up on a little thing where they selling luggage. He's pushed all that luggage away, and he's got up on that top shelf of that luggage rack, and he's got that hand back like this, and he's saying, Jesus saves. God loves you. I look around, all these people's laughing, and I look over, and he looks at me, and he sees me, and he goes, and he just went to preaching from the top. You know where he got that? By watching me. He'll catch me sometimes. We'll be driving home. Since Becky's had the baby, a couple times me and Tucker's went by ourselves, and me and him he'd been in the back seat of the car, and he'd say, Daddy, you sure did a good job preaching tonight. Them people were shouting and hollering. They really liked you, Daddy. Said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a preacher too, Daddy. You know what that does for me? That's a voice that makes me want to push past the voices that are there to kill me. You better get this clear. The devil has ruined better marriages than yours and mine. The devil has split better churches than the one we're in right now. The devil has ruined better men of God than what's in this room here right now. And it's not a matter of if the devil's coming after you and I. It's a matter of when the devil's coming after you and I. And we've got to make up our mind and fill our mind with voices that will keep us going and keep us pushing past those voices so that we don't become a statistic, but we become what God wants us to be. And we've got to stand in these dark days. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and harder and harder, and God's looking for some people that will quit being cowards and quit being yellow-bellies, that'll say the devil can do what he wants to do, but when it comes to my family, we're not for sale, we're not giving in, he can't have my babies, we will march on for the glory of God. If the devil gets me, one thought that I can't get out of my mind is a conversation I can hear in the future. I'm done, sis. If you'll just play something soft on that piano, I'm done. Is the thought of Tucker growing up telling people about what his daddy used to be. Can you hear the stories all over town as people talk about what Samson used to be? I don't want Tucker to have to make excuses for his daddy. I don't want Tucker to as people talk about all this and that, him say, well, you should have heard my daddy back in the day. He used to be my hero. Instead, I believe I want my boys and my family to get around my graveside one day and say, Daddy endured hardness as a good soldier. Daddy didn't give up and he didn't give in. Daddy stood for what's right. Some of you mamas and daddies in this room, my age, a little older, a little younger, the statistics are greatly against you and I making it. The statistics say that your kids are going to be raised in a home that's split up and split apart. If you're here, I'm not throwing rocks at nobody. I'm here to tell you that God can bless again. You say, preacher, I've already messed up. I've been in a mess. I'm not here throwing any rocks at him, but I'm here to tell you God can bless you again. Your strength can come back, but hear me well. I believe for those of us that got these little babies, and we've got to learn to push these voices out of our heads. And say, God, I want my babies to grow up blessed. Tucker, come here. I want my babies to grow up, and when my time is time to go, I want my kids to say, my daddy was faithful to the end. Oh, where's some parents at that'll say, God, don't let them voices get in my home, and God, remind me of voices that mean something to me. Voices that are voices of deliverance and not destruction. Some of y'all had godly grandmas and grandpas that prayed over your life. Some of y'all had preachers that invested in you. And I dare you this morning to try to quit while your eyes are closed, remembering the voices of those that have brought you to where you are. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around.